Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Jerod Mayo this morning on the Greg Hill Show. Patriots Monday on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe live from Gillette Stadium. That got the ball rolling on the speculation for a quarterback switch. And I think if you were like us driving around this morning en route to Foxborough.
Oh, yeah.
You perked up when you heard that answer. It's like, oh.
That's something.
What do you mean? You got to talk about it in the squad meeting.
Which I think we should apply to our show from now on.
Yeah,
Hey, what do you guys got on the show?
Well, I mean, a squad meeting.
Haven't had our squad meeting yet.
Yeah.
Got to break it down.
We get in and have the squad meeting before the show.
We do.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if people ask us prior to that, like, what are you guys talking about?
We haven't had our squad meeting yet.
No idea.
Buzz off, Ken. We haven't had our squad meeting yet.
You going to talk about the Pats Dolphins?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe.
Hey, Mike, why don't you back off? Squad meeting's coming.
Squad meeting's coming.
Yeah, seriously.
In short order. But no, it was a big difference from the previous couple of weeks. When it was also coming off a loss, a bad loss, right? It's been three straight bad losses. Two of them scoreboard-wise, one of them just play-style-wise.
Yep.
And the fact that you had the lead and you're at home and all that other stuff. So three straight losses, you're asking these questions, and he was pretty adamant in weeks past that it was Brissett, right? And sort of deflecting onto other things and other issues, like a team-wide loss, team-wide, all that kind of stuff. This was like,
I haven't heard,
I got to talk to the guys.
Yeah, I haven't heard, hang on, I got to address the team.
I was like, whoa.
You know, and that's not I'm taking a little bit of liberty with what he said, but like he left the door open. And so then you get the subsequent reporting.
I'd say wide open.
Yeah, wide open.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's not just a jar. It's
wide open.
Keith. So subsequent reporting. And I just think it's important to go through both of these. Mike Reese, not a bomb thrower.
No.
He's not constantly given hot takes.
Like facts. He works in the world of facts.
He's not going to go out on a limb unless he feels pretty confident about something. That doesn't mean he's right 100% of the time, and he makes it clear to say it's opinion analysis, but a notable shift in Jerod Mayo's answers regarding the quarterback situation in his day after video conference compared to past weeks. Mayo said last week the team won its only game in an unsustainable way, and he seems to be strongly considering a switch to Drake May. Unsustainable meaning they scored, what, 16 against Cincinnati week one?
Yeah.
Whatever the point total
was. Well, also, it was like they didn't turn it over. They played great defense special teams. Like, are you going to be able to do that every single week? Like, there's no room for error if you're a defense and special teams.
It's hard to win scoring 16 a game, right? And they're scoring even less than that. They wish they scored 16 a game. They're scoring
12.4.
So Adam Schefter quote tweets Mike Reese and says, a quarterback change could soon be coming to New England with rookie first-round pick Drake May potentially starting Sunday against the Texans. He added in another Instagram post that it's not just about Jerod Mayo. Also, sources seem to indicate Houston's the week. So I think it's at least a week too late, maybe 5 weeks too late. But it sounds like it's actually happening, which means there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Because make no mistake, yesterday was rock bottom. Yesterday was as bad as it gets and as bad as it's been in 30 years around here. They're 1-4 to start the year in back-to-back years for the first time since 92-93. Yesterday was rock bottom. And my guess is a lot of people have had enough, but specifically Robert and Jonathan have had enough, and they said, okay, we're not doing it anymore. Bunch of empty seats, tickets crashing on the secondary market,
right?
Booze at the stadium. We're not doing that anymore. We're making the switch, and we're making it now. That's my guess.
Here's my hot take of the day.
Yep.
Is Alex Van Pelt was trying to do what he could to save Jacoby Brissett's job yesterday, that he did too much, and he cost him his job. That was not a game where Jacoby Brissett should have thrown it 34 times. Based on how effective the run game was when they actually ran it, and based on the score, like throughout the entire game, they either had the lead or they were down by, you know, a possession or less than a possession.
Yep.
So if they just, say Brissett threw for a buck 15, didn't turn it over, which he didn't, and Ramondre and Gibson combined for 200 rushing yards and they win the game 17-15. Probably fewer calls for the job, right? I mean, I think some, like you and I, maybe Wiggy, are still like, how about the guy? Like, you know, the offense isn't great, but a win changes so many things. Like, a win is so much different. Instead, you have the fire drill ending, where the veteran quarterback is supposed to know all the, you know, down distance time, throwing it in the middle of the field without any timeouts left just so you can get a completion for nothing?
By the way, for a borderline 10-year vet in the NFL, yeah. It's 8 years or whatever it is,
but
a guy who's been in the league going on a decade, he doesn't know you can't throw across the middle of the field?
And also, I'm not saying he was wrong at any point, but for Mark Sanchez, of all people, on color commentary, to just be like ripping him throughout the game.
It's
he's like,
so
you're
going
to get the ball out quicker.
He's like,
oh, you can't have that.
He's got time back there.
That guy's
Three steps, like, it's got to be out. That guy's open. Can't throw across. Like, Mark Sanchez is...
Sanchez
is ripping.
And he was right,
and he's 100% right.
There was a ton of those situations. So the last 2 weeks, it has really stood out that the quarterback wasn't making plays, and also, you know, kind of hurt the team.
Yep.
Right? Whereas before, you're like, all right, like, good enough. Remember, and like, we would push back with some that would say, "What an unbelievable job he did!" It's like, all right, that's too strong.
Yeah,
he was good enough.
He's a miracle
for a couple of weeks.
There. That was
good
a bit much for me. Yeah,
the last 2 weeks, not so much. And it's the only position on the entire team that you have a guy with all that upside just sitting there.
Yeah, like
any other 1-4 team that had any other player like that at any position would probably try them to see what kind of spark it could lead to.
Right. Nick, not to put you on the spot, but how did Hunter Henry refer to Drake May again? Because you say, Keith, you know, you have this piece just sitting there waiting in the wings,
yep,
that could easily
practicing
improve
with the
things.
Team. He's on the roster.
Yeah, we saw him at the end of the Jets game.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
he moved
Drake's,
the football.
Drake's
that
a great player.
A great player.
Great player. They could use more great players.
They could use
not
more
to oversimplify
great
it. But if they have any great players available, no, they should play them.
But sometimes it's not that complex.
Just
like
not.
Sometimes
Drake's a great player.
Just get your great players out there, and you'll be fine. Picking up with this, Keith, because they were totally undisciplined yesterday.
Yeah.
12 penalties
12
in the
penalties.
Game. You know, you have, I think, a number of poor coaching decisions, like right before the half, poor clock management.
That's an odd question.
Sorry,
ABB. Well, I mean, one's game, but like end of second quarter, end of fourth quarter.
Well, but. So that was poor clock management. Do you think I was bad coaching? I feel like that's more Brissett. Like, do you think the coaches were like, yeah, throw it over the middle of the field to Hunter Henry?
No, probably not.
So,
I guess it's poor execution. But I think anytime, like, when teams are on the league, we
lump it all together.
Stuff, yeah,
yeah,
that's stupid fair. Stuff also does go kind of back to coaching, right?
Fine.
You're like, all right, you got to have
that's
those guys. Yeah, yeah.
You're right. That's fair. So poor clock management at the end of both halves. And it was, in Gerard Mayo's words, a carbon copy of the Seattle game right before halftime, which is abysmal. But here's another coaching issue. And Bedard wrote about this today, and you were harping on this earlier. I like some of the numbers he has here. He says, despite leading for nearly the entire game.
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
Which I'll interject. The Patriots played the game on their terms. Game script could not go better for them. They were in control. They were leading. Van Pelt called 36 dropbacks that produced 160 yards. Just 18 running plays for 141 yards. So one more time, 36 throws to 18 runs. They ran for 141. They threw for 160. And he kept calling for throw after throw after throw. You think?
To save Brissett. I think they're very
not
sensitive.
Not great, Bob.
No, it's not.
I think they're sensitive to the quarterback decision and how people are harping on it. And I also think Van Pelt and Wolf might be getting a little bit of heat from Mayo, too. Be like, all right, we're going along with this plan.
This is your plan,
it's
guys, and it's
great.
Terrible.
It's playing out right in front of our eyes. This can't be great. And so they say, you know what we're going to do is we're going to turn things around, and we're going to pass our way to
okay.
the victory.
And meanwhile, all you had to do was pay attention to Miami on the other side. I was crushing McDaniel last week. I'm like, this guy's supposed to be an offensive genius.
Yeah.
Where's that gone without Tua? And none of us think Tua's even that great, so where's that gone?
Tough year for the offensive geniuses.
It is, but look at what he figured out in the second half. He knew to run.
Yeah.
Here were Miami's three possessions in the second half. 56 yards, field goal. 57 yards, field goal. 80 yards, touchdown. You want their game-winning drive?
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Run for three. Run for 16. Run for two. Run for 18. Run for two. Run for eight. Run for three. Touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So Miami figured it out and said, we're going to run. This is what we're going to do. The Patriots watched that. They watched Jacoby Brissett, and they continued to throw time after time after time. So Mayo said today, a decision or a change, rather, with the play caller isn't on the table at this time. They're not making a change with Alex Van Pelt. You can make a change real easy with the quarterback, and it sounds like they're about to. And by the way, they should.
It's early, and if there's not changes, you can't rule out Alex Van Pelt not being the play caller at some point. Like them removing it, because that's what happens. You look around the league, dead last offenses, and they're teetering right now with Miami. Miami, at the very least, could say, our quarterback got hurt in the second game. Now, it's a horrible offense, right? They need to change it around. None of their backup quarterbacks have thrown a touchdown yet. Skylar Thompson, Tim Boyle, and Snoop Huntley have all played. None of them have thrown a touchdown.
That's amazing.
So they at least have that. Like, so as you're watching that game last night or yesterday, and the offenses are both so bad, One team was on their fourth quarterback. One team was on their chosen starter. So the fact that they averaged the same amount of points, I think one looks a lot worse than the other.
No, I would agree with that. And so, you know, you say, what would they do? You suggested McAdoo before, T.C. McCarthy. I mean,
yeah. It happens all the time, by the way. Well, not all the time, but it does happen. And we usually don't pay attention to it because for years, Brady just dominating with whoever the coordinator was. But around the league, they'll be like, big deal, right? When, like, all right, they'll be on the, or it'll be on the ticker. So-and-so.
This guy's taking over play calling.
Taking over play calling.
You see that all the time. All the time. And, like, they legit, I'm far from the first person to say this, but they legitimately could bring back Patricia and Judge, and they would be doing better offense. Like, those offenses did better.
So they've gotten worse each of the last 4 years.
O'Brien was worse than Patricia and Judge?
He was.
Van Pelt is worse than Patricia and Judge.
And O'Brien.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, oh, yeah. No,
oh,
it's gone down.
Oh, I'm sorry. And he's worse
I'm saying
than O'Brien.
Patricia
yes,
and Judge somehow were even better than O'Brien, but even O'Brien was better than
yep.
Alex Appel.
No, it's going in the wrong direction.
Correct.
And, you know, maybe some of that has to do with some of the quarterbacks you trotted out there, which would tell me,
perhaps,
don't worry so much about the play caller. Worry a little about a bit more about who's under center, and maybe you'll get better results. Jesse is in New Bedford. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
You know, this is what I get upset about. Well, I think some of the media people are either compromised or they kind of just a sheep. I don't know, because Dan Orlovsky's one of these media guys that you got to sit on. He's going to develop. But about a week ago, Anthony Richardson for the Colts got hurt. And then his take was, well, you know, the best you got to be available to play. And the only way you can develop is if he gets on the field, and he can't do that because he keeps getting hurt. So he's going to change his play style. And I like dropped my remote. I'm like, this is the guy that's saying that Drake May needs to sit, but Anthony Richardson needs to play to develop. So all I'm saying is I'm just tired of excuses. I'm tired of these media members regurgitating whatever talking points the Patriots or whoever wants to put out there.
Well, Jesse,
not Drake May, enough is enough.
Jesse, watch this. Watch what happens. Watch what happens when Drake May goes out there and plays.
Oh, the right call.
How many people change their tune?
You need those 5 weeks of seasoning.
Just wait for it.
Like, who was he talking about, by the way?
He was talking about Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I couldn't hear him. Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no, he is a hard guy to listen to when it comes to the Drake May.
Oh, well, if
he was the you couldn't give me all the money in the world to play Drake May.
Yeah, well, originally, originally he said Drake needs to sit for 2 years. That was his original take.
That is an insane take.
And he said now that you could not pay him enough money. So look, just wait for it. You know who said what. You guys pay attention out there, Patriots fans. You know who said what. We've been saying the whole time, play this kid. Play him, he's going to get better by playing. We've been consistent, now we're going to find out who's right. Listen to how people change, though, once he gets out there.
It's going to pay me enough to start Drake May.
Yeah. Like, listen to what he starts saying.
It's not your call.
Let's say we get an announcement tonight. I'll be curious.
Maybe this afternoon.
I'll be curious to hear Curran tomorrow. Because Curran's been a big, you can't roll him out there yet.
Yeah.
It's not ready for him. You can't do it. Like, once they make the announcement, I'll be curious to hear Curran, quite frankly.
Do you think when Jacoby Brissett is on the afternoon show today, they're going to prepare, like, his last meal?
Okay, well, good question.
Is it going to be one of those situations?
I was asking Brian is going to run their Twitch, I believe, here today. And I don't think they know if it's Brissett yet.
I bet it
now,
is.
Now, that doesn't mean it isn't, but I don't think they know if it's Brissett.
Man, what a weird spot. But I'm all ears. I want to hear that.
All of a sudden, Drake May just pops down. And that's their interview? Yeah. All right, Jacoby.
Yep. On your way. Any final words?
Hey, why don't you stop by after squad meeting, Jacoby? Why don't you pop in? Is there anything you'd like for a meal?
Anything written on your metaphorical tombstone?
There's some leftovers from EEI's broadcast upstairs. If you want the
mac and cheese, delicious
steak tips and mac and cheese, looks quite lovely.
Half
I think
a cookie,
one dinner roll that fell on the ground. If you want that, you can have that. That'll be your final meal as Patriots quarterback. Christine is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Christine.
Hi, guys. I've been listening to everybody going back and forth about the quarterback. The writing's on the wall. They're playing to tank. They didn't hire an offensive coordinator. They hired one who was the last man standing. They didn't make any moves on a left tackle. They could have gotten Justin Fields or one of these guys with a lot of upside at quarterback, but they paid more money for a worse quarterback. They're not getting a wide receiver. And it's just like, what are they doing? So they're tanking for this year, but they can't say that. They want another first-round pick or a close to top-round pick.
Okay, so if they're tanking, you would keep playing
Brissett,
right?
You would just keep playing Brissett.
Yeah.
Honestly, I push back on that because we've gotten texts like that over the last 4 weeks. And I'm like, no, they're not. But the way she describes it, it's kind of like, well, that's true. They got the last man standing offensive coordinator. They didn't address the offensive line. They didn't spend any money on receivers, and they're playing Brissett 5 straight weeks. What does that sound like to you? Now, the only reason why I say no is most years teams in the NFL tank it's when Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence, not that that's worked out necessarily, but when it's like
it's a quarterback.
Next level quarterback is available. That's not – you already have your quarterback, or at least you hope you do, and this isn't like an unbelievable quarterback draft necessarily.
When's the last time people were tanking to get like a position player? I would say it might have been like Reggie Bush, and he didn't even end up going number one.
Yeah, I don't – it probably hasn't really happened that much. But, I mean
– like me, and I say position meaning a non-quarterback. Like when's the last time that happened? So, look, I don't want them to – I have no idea what they're doing, to be honest. I thought they should have started Drake May week one. So I have no clue what they're doing. I don't agree with any of it, but I would like to think they're not tanking.
I hope not.
I think they just, you know, didn't spend a lot in free agency, didn't bring in
any new talent. If you're not playing the best quarterback,
okay, but
and you didn't address your biggest need.
Okay, but if they start playing Drake May, they're not tanking anymore,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, cool. They haven't done that yet.
No, right, but I'm saying if
oh, yeah, no, that argument goes out the window. Like, but as of right now on October 7th, like, okay, I can't really disprove that.
And look, I mean, maybe you feel like you're throwing Drake May out before he's ready and that leads to the tank. I just know rookies are playing well. We came in after 2 weeks and we're like, boy, the rookie class looks like it's struggling. And so are the Patriots onto something? We don't like it, but are the Patriots onto something? And then, you know, after week five, it's completely flipped. And weird, the young players keep getting better and it's not hurting any of their teams. All of the other teams have winning records playing a rookie quarterback. Every single one of them. Is this Rondo? Rondo on Block Island. Go ahead,
nice.
Rondo.
Hey, this is Rondo from Block Island. How are you doing? I just have one comment for you to consider.
Okay. Uh-huh.
If we were to play Drake May, let's say now, and assuming he doesn't get hurt, maybe we get next year, hypothetically, the 10th pick in the draft, or would we rather keep Brissett in and possibly get the number one pick and get multiple picks from trading that away?
Okay, Keith, I understand the take. So would you rather tank and get the number one pick and package that for whatever, or play Drake May, be better, not great, and still get a top 10 pick?
I don't know if you're picking 10th with Drake May. As much as I want him to play, like, let's not go crazy. Like, you still have to play Buffalo. It's like, not to go through the whole schedule. How many wins is Drake May getting with this team? It's still all of the other same pieces.
Okay, but fine. But let's play it out and say they do get the 10th pick. I'd still rather have the 10th pick.
Yeah, me too, because then I think Drake May is better suited for next year than he would be otherwise, Mr. Brissett.
I would still rather have pick 10.
For an entertainment purposes?
Yeah.
Like, good Lord. Have Drake May out there immediately.
Yeah, and like, I understand that's not the best reason, but did anyone like watching that yesterday?
Did you like any
aspect of watching that yesterday? Flags, teams that can't snap. Teams that commit, you know, boneheaded penalties, play after play after play. No offense. Nobody can throw. Unwatchable football.
It's one of the first
bad coaching.
It like blended into, I need to watch this for work.
Yes.
Like, that's not how I view any of the sports. That's why I like this is the best job in the world.
I heard
but, like, it worked into, like, I need to watch this. I have to watch
I heard Chris Curtis say this yesterday. It's the first time this year. I felt this way a lot last year.
Yeah.
But it's the first time this year I'm like, red zone is too tempting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's doing the Patriots a disservice because, well, number one, you go to red zone and you see actual quality football elsewhere.
Guys just slinging it all around the yard.
But I was watching
the
Patriots hoping it would go to commercial so I could flip back to red zone and see what was going on because that was more interesting than the game.
Yeah.
Chris is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
Hi, Chris.
Hey.
So, first-time caller. I've been listening to you guys forever.
Nice.
Well, so, at the beginning of the season, we all said we were going to get, like, 3 wins, right?
Yes.
Well, some people did. I said 6, but yeah.
So, I said 3.
So, let's look at the AFC East right now.
Okay.
Everybody's garbage. Everyone.
Huh.
Bills, Jets, Miami, all garbage.
Okay, are the Bills garbage?
I don't think the Bills are garbage. They got smoked by Baltimore, and then they just lost a close.
I don't think they're garbage either, but they've had.
But they're maybe not as good as you thought.
Yeah, right.
The Jets and the Dolphins definitely aren't as good as you thought. So his overall point, I agree with. The AFC East is worse than we expected.
Yeah, isn't that a reason to go to Drake May?
Oh, maybe he means it's winnable. Maybe he means if they went to him originally, maybe you have a chance.
I mean, this is what I think. And we said this earlier. Like, I don't know. They'd probably have 2 or 3 wins if they had Drake May out there, which is the same as Chicago. Yeah. It's the same as Denver. It's not even as good as Washington. So that's my stance. They probably have 2 or 3 wins if they went with Drake May, but I can't prove that. Let's even say they were 1-4 and they have the exact same record. My guess is it would at least be trending up on offense. And maybe you win yesterday against Miami.
Right.
You don't beat Cincinnati, but it's the same record. I'd rather be trending up than trending down. And that's how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Speaking of trending, we got Billy Lanny
all right.
with all the latest here, and then we're right back with the grab bag. Stay tuned.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Oh, it certainly is. Time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, on a Patriots Monday live from Gillette Stadium. Great day for it. We had a bunch of Patriots guests. You can check out the Odyssey app for all those guests. Devon Godchow is here, Hunter Henry. Christian Gonzalez.
Well, we many clients of WEEI
right.
were here throughout the course of the day. Many great clients. They were going up to the top of the lighthouse.
Lighthouse. But,
yeah, they were doing some lighthouse trips here today.
That is the thing to see here. Giant lighthouse.
I wonder how far you can see on a day like today. Well, I guess it's,
today not great, Joe.
Well, it depends on the lighthouse comes around every like 10 seconds when the light goes.
Does it
real
spin
far.
Like the space?
Yeah, I would imagine
that can't be right.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty much set. Where it is, you can maybe walk around, get a different view.
That's true.
But not a great day for it. But let's get into the old grab bag, shall we?
Just shut up. You had me at
grab bag.
Major League Baseball playoffs were underway this weekend. How about yesterday? The Philadelphia Phillies beat the Mets 7-6. Bryce Harper with a dong. That series is now tied at a game apiece. Padres blew out the Dodgers 10-2. That series also even at one. Today, the American League Divisional Series, Tigers, Guardians, Royals, Yankees, both New York and Cleveland took game one.
Yeah, I look, the Padres are interesting to me.
Yes.
You know, just with some of the connections that the Red Sox have.
Don Orsillo.
That organization. Namely, Don Orsillo.
Specifically, Don Orsillo.
But no, you got Xander Bogaerts there as well. I'm just kind of rooting for the Dodgers to get knocked off, too. Like, you know, they've been knocking on the door for so long. They have so much. I'm kind of just rooting for them to get knocked off.
See, I kind of go the other way.
Yeah.
If the Dodgers buy a World Series,
yeah.
Isn't that sort of another, like, hey, maybe you can also buy a World Series.
That makes sense. To send a message,
a little bit of money.
Send a message to the Red Sox.
It might not get through to them.
This is what I think. Yeah. I think I'm done playing that game because I don't think anything's going to get through to them. But fine. If you're telling me that's going to work, I guess I could be talked into rooting for that as well.
Yep.
I don't know. I think it would be kind of funny, too, for the Dodgers to get knocked out in the first round. They fire Dave Roberts, and then Alex Cora has to be like, wait a minute, what? You gave me $7 million, so that I would all of a sudden get on board and you
like
could buy my loyalty? Wait a minute. Now I kind of want out.
Tarek Skubal going for the Tigers today. That's a 4:08 first pitch in Cleveland. Grab bag. Boston Bruins open up the regular season tomorrow. They have Jeremy Swayman signed. He was on the practice ice today, but he was the backup to Corposalo. So we're going to see Corposalo tomorrow, but that's sort of an if we see anybody play tomorrow, right?
There's
they're playing at Florida. There's a
Billy,
hurricane.
What's the latest on it? It's basically TBD if they're actually going to play tomorrow, yeah? Okay, I mean, which makes sense. I mean,
yeah, you have to.
Makes perfect sense. You know, there's no reason to jam that game in if you don't have to. It's going to be a banner raising night for the Panthers. Obviously, you don't have Swayman out there either way. But no, I mean, it'll be interesting to see the Bruins actually start their season if they indeed start their season tomorrow. And I guess what would have been real high stakes for the Bruins and the Ullmark trade and their negotiations with Swayman, those are all lessened because they bent the knee and caved to him and paid him and lost the negotiation.
Mm-hmm. All right, next.
That they may take our lives, but they'll never take
grab bag.
College football, BC fell to UVA. They had a lead and then lost the game, so BC takes an L on Saturday.
I watched a good chunk of that.
Did you really?
Yeah, they were up 14-0, and it was Tommy Touchdown's not so hot after that, Keith. It fell apart.
No,
quick. They're only 1-1 in ACC play, so like let's see where they go with that. But yeah, that was not encouraging. They were up 14-0. You go,
right.
Okay,
good.
I see what they're doing.
Fourth quarter fell apart,
and you know Virginia's not exactly.
It was their homecoming day, right? Wasn't Courtney complaining about that?
It might have been.
She was like, that's a slap in the face.
I'll be honest. I said I watched a lot of it. I wasn't paying that close of attention.
Okay. Well, you didn't see the homecoming crowd?
The who homecoming?
Yeah,
I didn't look that closely at it. No.
Cavaliers.
Yeah.
led by Curtis Staples.
They're not exactly, you know, Ohio State or somebody like that. No,
they're not. Tiki Barber. Tiki and Rondé Barber, though. Virginia Cavaliers.
Yep.
That's probably it.
Dontavian Wicks.
Oh, yeah, good one.
I only know that because I snapped him up in fantasy last week.
All right.
Disappointed, yeah.
Okay.
Well, hello, Mr.
Grab Bag.
Now, the biggest story of the college football weekend was Alabama losing to Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Massive favorites. They were ranked, what, number one in the country?
Bama moved to
number
one. Number
one after they beat Georgia.
And run and throw. He built like a brick house.
Yeah, Jalen Milroe. That is all true about Jalen Milroe.
That's true, he is.
But, they lost to the Vanderbilt Commodores. Don't beat a lot of big SEC teams.
No.
They're in the SEC. Nobody knows how or why.
I saw a stat that had to have been false. I meant to fact check this, but I'm just going to go with it anyway. Vanderbilt scored more in the first quarter against Alabama that game than they scored the entire Nick Saban era at Alabama.
Sounds about right.
Nick Saban did say 2 weeks ago that going into Vandy was the easiest place to play in the SEC.
And so I didn't fact check it, but it was just unbelievable. Yeah. And so let me tell you what happened, Keith, on Saturday night.
Go ahead, please.
I was hanging out with my buddy. The whole game, humble brag.
Look at this guy.
The whole game, I'm going, all right, we need to – let Vandy score again. Let me live bet this on the other side for Bama. When's Bama going to get to be plus money? When's Bama going to get to be even money? They're minus 140, even though they're down two scores. Finally, he looks at me and goes,
Vandy's just going to win.
Let's bet Vandy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He goes, we got plus money on Vandy. They're up 16 points. Let's bet Vandy. And I'm like, I don't know why I didn't think of that. We bet Vandy.
What a play.
What a ride.
What a ride.
Now, I'll tell you, I was sweating it out. I didn't think it was going to land.
Yeah. They picked up that big first down at the end. I watched the end. I didn't watch the whole game. I watched the last however many minutes of it, though. Pretty thrilling. I had a cousin that went to Vanderbilt, so I was texting her. I'm like, how about this?
She's like, brag. Bragging left and right.
Big brag.
I got cousins. So you got friends.
They tear down the goalpost.
Yep.
And they bring it down Main Street, Nashville, and throw it in the drink.
What a party.
See that?
What a party that's going to be. Oh, yeah. That's got to be a party.
I mean, somebody's going to have to pay for that, though.
But yeah. It never occurred to me to bet. I'm like, I got 16 points and plus bet. What the hell was I doing?
Yeah, Vandy. Yeah. Run away with it.
What a bet.
Man.
Wise men say forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for
grab bag.
Kevin Harlan, Trent Green will be in Gillette Stadium this Sunday for Patriots-Texans. I like Kevin Harlan.
Is the shine coming off him a little bit,
though? I think he gets excited about calls. I just need somebody that gets excited about calls. You should be excited about some of these big plays.
So
I feel like Harlan does that.
Kevin Harlan and Patriots throwbacks, Drake May, C.J. Stroud.
Woo! I'm back in.
I mean, that's something.
That's
honestly
something.
What more
do you want?
Yeah. You know what? That's not terrible.
Trent Green, you can take or leave.
Yeah, I mean, Brissett, Trent Green.
Yeah.
And they get smoked by the Texans, not so good. But okay, that would be something to get excited for,
It's a grab bag.
So I was perusing high school football scores over the weekend from Friday Night Lights in the great state of Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
Billerica High School played Haverhill.
Where does one peruse these scores?
Like Max Preps.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're just fishing around on Max Preps?
Well, I'm glad I did because Billerica put up 83 on Haverhill. 83-54 was your final score Friday night. 83-54?
83-54. Wow.
I don't know on God's green earth that happened. I feel like there was no tackles in the game.
How many weeks for Jacoby Brissett to get the Patriots to 83 points? I mean, they're at 12 right now.
At least.
12 a game, rather.
Oh, 12 a game. So, yeah, do the math. It's trending in the wrong direction.
I can't. I'm trying to off the top of my head. But, it would take maybe the whole season. Maybe the whole season with Jacoby Brissett to get 83.
They put up 83 in a high school game.
What a game. I mean, they gave up 54. That's pretty good on the other side.
I was going to say, they're not messing around. 54, you got good fantasy numbers on that side, too.
I was going to say, that's one of those where you're just like.
For Rob Zombie's Haverhill High.
It's true. That is true.
All right.
You are my sunshine, my only
grab bag.
All right, so we have a double hashtag dork podcast tonight, 8:45. We're going to do episode 3 of The Penguin, and we are also going to review the latest comic book movie that was in theaters this weekend, Joker, Folie à Deux.
Yeah.
Joker 2.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah.
Might be the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life. It was so bad. I didn't have high hopes.
What was your tweet yesterday? You had a tweet about the Joker first related half. To the Pats. Yeah.
Yeah, I said the first half, Patriots first half, was not the worst thing I saw all weekend because I saw Joker 2. But I don't know. It's really a toss-up. Pats, Dolphins, entire game, or Joker 2. Both stunk.
That was Gaga. No, she's no good?
No. Well, they also kind of wasted her. I mean, she's fine, but like she's supposed to be Harley Quinn, who's one of the great comic book characters. She actually debuted in the Batman animated series, but she's a great character, great background, like origin story. Nothing. Didn't
What's
do
worse,
any of
this or Madam Web?
Glad you asked, because right now Madam Web was in the basement. I rank all the movies I see for the calendar year.
What's Madam Web?
It was another comic book movie with what's her name? Melanie Griffith's kid.
Dakota?
Dakota Johnson.
One from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, yeah, 50 Shades of Grey. So okay. Madam Web, it's like a Spider-Man adjacent type of thing. I think this is worse than that. I think Joker 2 is the new... I haven't seen Megalopolis yet, the Francis Ford Coppola movie everybody says is trash.
Yeah, it's gotten panned. Yeah,
and I haven't seen Borderlands yet, though it's also supposed to be horrible. But
didn't they take that out of theaters because nobody was going to see it?
Yes. Yeah, it's already it was on demand like less than a month later.
Which one? The Borderlands?
Borderlands.
Not Megalopolis.
Megalopolis is still out there just getting crushed. But no, Joker 2, saw it, skip it, but listen to our review on Dork.
Okay.
We'll crush it there.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball Player of the Day.
All right, this is my favorite part of the day where I try to get Jones, Billy, and Nick to guess the random baseball player of the day. This guy's a legend. Played 13 years in the majors. Played for a variety of teams. I wanted to find a guy that played on some of these playoff teams. Played for Cleveland. Played for the Yankees. Played for the Cubs. Played for the Giants. Played for the Blue Jays. Played for the Angels. Played for the Mariners.
Wow.
Nick Swisher.
Who did he play? Nick Swisher. Good guess.
No. All right. The years. 1989.
Oh, boy.
To 2001.
Okay.
He was a zero-time All-Star.
Oh, boy.
He was a part of the 2000 World Series team with the Yankees.
The 2000 World
Series. He was on the Yankees 2000 team.
Did you give us a position? No.
Yeah, outfield.
An outfielder.
He was an outfielder from
2000 Yankees.
89 to 01.
Randy Velarde.
Great guess, but no.
Not Randy Velarde.
Not Randy Velarde.
Okay. That is a
so,
wonderful
yeah,
guess. All the guys the Yankees like cranked through like in the late 90s, 2000s, like all these guys that they like had been very productive elsewhere, none of them were zero time. Like, you know.
No.
Well, Chili Davis.
Ooh,
an
no, no, he had to have been an all-star team, I think. So he played most of his games with the Giants, it looks like, Cubs, and Indians were like the main three, and then he bounced around for other teams. One other clue I will give
you. Yeah, give it to us.
And this might
give
be
it away?
A dead giveaway.
It's okay. We need it.
For my money, it wasn't necessarily a bat flip, but the way he got rid of the – discarded the bat.
Dante Bichette.
Nope, good one though. After he hit a home run, it was like nobody else.
He was an all-star.
Must have made some all-star teams.
He capped out with 27 home runs in the 2000 season.
Man, I got nothing on this, Keith.
He had four 20-plus home run seasons. Outfielder, right-handed bat.
I mean,
this is a deep cut because you guys got the last three, so I want to go a little bit deeper.
I think I'm going to have to say going
Tino
once,
Martinez.
Going twice.
Right? What was
Tino?
No, Tino.
He played first.
That's true.
What was his final season? 2000?
Yeah, 2001.
2001
was the last year he played.
Stumped? I'm stumped.
Stumped? All right, I got you guys.
Let's hear it.
Stumped.
Glenn Allen Hill.
Oh, Glenn Allen Hill.
I remember Glenn Allen Hill because there's a video of him hitting a ball.
Didn't Glenn Allen? Did Glenn Allen Hill have a three-homer game? Four-homer game?
You're thinking
Mark Witten had a four-home run game.
Mark Witten had a four. I think Glenn Allen Hill might have had a three.
My favorite thing about Glenn Allen Hill is he would swing and then he would like torque the bat back and like release it on its way out. So he was like, and they like fly towards the right dugout.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah, that was a bomb that he hit at Wrigley.
Yes.
That's just a YouTube.
You know who I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of the Cubs. I'm thinking of Tuffy Rhodes had a three home run game. I'm thinking of
Tuffy Rhodes. He also is he was a member of the 2020 club one year. Glenn Allen Hill.
I don't remember Glenn Allen Hill ever being a Yankee. I don't remember that.
Yeah, there's that 2000 team.
I don't remember being on the 15 other teams.
They played for every team in the league.
I remember the Cubs.
No, that's pretty true. All right, last thing.
Grab bag.
It's raining.
Grab bag?
I like the last grab bag.
Last thing. Horror movie of the day. It's October. I'm giving you a horror movie. I'm going to go with a classic this time. It's on Netflix if you want to give it a rewatch. 1960s Psycho. The original Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock, available, quick rips, like a 90-minute movie, maybe a perfect movie. Love Psycho. Give that a watch tonight.
Not the Vince Vaughn remake.
Shot for shot remake, Gus Van Zandt. I don't know why they did that, but yes, I also watched that. They're like, this time in color. I don't need it.
Okay.
I don't need that. So there you go. There's the bag.
That is the grab bag. That mm-hmm. is your horror movie recommendation of the day. Glenn Allen Hill gets us. Stumped by Glenn Allen Hill.
That's not bad. How many days we've been doing it?
Is that the sixth one? You're telling us we hit the last three? That doesn't sound right.
Billy did. Or two at least.
Yeah, that makes sense. Billy.
You know, I wrote these down.
Oh, yeah, because Billy was doing his swish. Yeah.
Good thing I didn't get it today. Yeah. I have wheels right now.
Whenever we get our official Jones and Keefe Wikipedia page, we'll have somebody update the
somebody can track
randoms.
Yeah, that's good.
We had BJ Surhoff.
Yep.
Edgardo Alfonso.
Yep.
David De Jesus. Tony Fernandez.
Did not get David De Jesus. Yep.
Tony Fernandez.
Yep.
Billy got and
yep.
Jeff Cirillo.
Nice.
Well, you said Rich Cirillo.
Yeah,
you also butchered the
I actually don't think I've gotten any names
no,
right.
No, the names, you're all around
I've
it,
kind
though.
Of been right around.
Close.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
There
we,
you have it.
We rounded up. Okay. We'll check in and see what WEEI Afternoons have coming up. I think they're going to be talking to a quarterback today. We'll
nice.
Find out which one, and we'll wrap up our thoughts on the ongoing saga for the Patriots. Will they finally mercifully go to Drake May? Sounds like the answer is yes. We'll get to it next. Jones and Keith, WEEI. It's Patriots Monday. We're live today at Gillette Stadium. We're putting the finishing touches here on today's program, but WEEI Afternoons with Hart and Arcand about to get going downstairs at Gillette Stadium. And the crossover is brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can visit the Nines for the new $14.99 big deal meals every Monday through Wednesday. Four new hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99, like the roast turkey dinner. You gotta love the Nines. Andy, Christian, do we know what quarterback we're getting on the show yet today? Do we know who it's going to be?
Do you remember when that guy used to walk around the tailgate with that very realistic Tom Brady mask?
Yes.
All right, what if someone walks in with like a Brissette mask on, he takes it off, and all of a sudden it's Drake
May? Drake May!
I'm expecting anything today. I have no idea who's going to walk through that door.
Okay, but they have not communicated yet.
No
okay.
one nope. said anything. I'm guessing it's going to be Brissette. That's,
yes.
that's where I'm leaning. That's what I think if you're asking me, but they have not told us anything yet.
Do you think they're making the switch, like they're officially doing it?
Yes. I absolutely think Drake May is going to start Sunday against the Texans because it's the wrong move. It's a week too late, and it feels like they've been a little too late or a little too wrong on everything they've done all year. So yeah,
that checks out.
Is right? I mean,
what about
he should played against
better late than never, though. What about that?
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it better late than never, but I just think it's going to create, I was telling Christian this and Brian this, it's going to create unfair comparisons because now he's probably going to struggle because he's never played before, and people are going to be comparing him to Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, who are in week 6, and he's in week 1, but we're going to try to compare him right away. But yes, there should be at least a boost of excitement and buzz coming off the worst game that can I ask you guys, am I exaggerating that's the worst game I've ever seen at any level?
Well, I mean, just like,
I don't know, St. Paul's football circa early 2000s was
no.
pretty rough.
No. Both teams were that bad. Both
yeah.
teams
no,
made
we
mistakes
just got smoked. So, yeah, you're right. The other team was usually pretty
it
good.
Was
right.
so unwatchable. It was so unwatchable, Andy. I agree. But this is why I think they are making a switch. Like, I don't think it's Jerod Mayo's call. I think Jerod Mayo would have done it week one if it were up to him. It's not.
Well,
so I think ownership's making the call because it was a terrible product, and fans were booing, and there weren't full seats in the house for the second home game, and
yep.
I think they're spooked.
Yep, and the other thing that I think has been misinterpreted or misheard is I believe Jerod Mayo this morning with the Greg Hill Show said, I haven't had my staff meeting yet,
oh,
which
I thought
squad.
I thought he said squad meeting, but it could have been staff.
I just re-listened with Stiz. I asked him to play it. He says
okay.
staff meeting, and I think that's key because we're questioning who's making the decision. So he might be telling you right there, I want to make the change,
well,
but I haven't checked in with the HC of the offense.
To play
right?
into your theory, who did we ask today, Keith? Was it Gonzalez who was like, yeah, it's going to be up to Mayo and Wolf. One of them said Wolf to us
right.
today. Was it
Gotcha.
Was it Gotcha? Sorry, maybe it was Gotcha, yeah.
So that's where I think it's important that he's saying I haven't gotten a chance to meet and maybe get approval. Maybe get approval from ownership, from executive level, from – he also tried to back off that he called him the head coach of the offense.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first time he tried to clarify that. He claims he tried to clarify that earlier in August. I don't recall. I think today was the first real clarification because I think he is trying to stand on his own two feet, and I think Jerod Mayo has every intention – of playing Drake May on Sunday.
So
but
I disagree with one thing you were saying, though, about Drake May and then immediately getting compared to other guys. No, only because right now it's shockingly closer to 50-50 than I would think of, like, who wants Drake May in and who doesn't. So
right.
I think the people who want him in are just going to be happy he's in. And then the people who don't want him in, even if he struggles, are going to be like, well, what do you expect him to do? Jacoby Brissett never should have been benched. And so I don't think he's kind of in a win-win situation, to be honest, because everybody thinks the line's so bad, the receiver's so bad, and the play caller's so bad that if he does anything, if he just like doesn't fall down when he hits the field, I think people are going to look at that as a win.
Well, what if he does exactly what Jacoby Brissett's doing? He gets sacked a lot. He makes slow reads. He runs a little bit, but finishes the game with like 100 yards passing, and they lose. I just feel like people are looking for a spark, and they're looking from dynamic, youthful plays. And if he doesn't do that, I think there's going to be a certain portion of the fan base that very quickly will forget the circumstances and forget reality and just jump on, well, you screwed up. You took the third quarterback that fell to you. The first two were good. You should have taken Nix. You could have taken a receiver. You could have taken a tackle.
So I think then they'll trash Elliott Wolf then.
So
I think Drake May's going to get off scot-free. And then maybe they'll pivot to Joe.
I hope so.
I don't know if he'll get off scot-free, but he'll get a long enough leash,
I think,
that the first two games that he plays in, not good, if he's good, everyone's going to overhype it and over-exaggerate how good he is. But if he's not, then I think he'll get some rope there. It's not going to be one or two
games. He would have had more rope if he had done it last week, and he's getting compared to Snoop Huntley this week. He's going to be compared to C.J. Stroud, who's the guy who was the great rookie quarterback last year who turns things around. And like, I just think
you just beat Josh Allen yesterday.
Screwed this up with the release of Drake May. You could have had so many other better options, and I'll take it, better late than never, but it's like another misstep. It's yet another misstep or correction where they have, I wanted to clarify what we did last week. Yeah, you should have played him last week.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Should have played him for 5 weeks.
Yeah,
more of WEI Afternoons. You got Andy Hart. You got Christian Arcan. It comes your way at 2 o'clock. They'll be talking to a quarterback today.
Nice.
That's a reason to tune in all day long. Find out which quarterback will be joining them. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. It's Tier Tuesday, Keith.
Let's go.
It's a Tom E. Tuesday with Tom E. Curran. And we also have Kiefer Madness tomorrow at 12:45. Stay tuned for all of it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.